Welcome back, everybody, to Daf Yomi. Today we are up to Daf Ayin in Maseches Bava Metzia. We are coming towards the end of Ezehu Neshech, just a few Daf left. We are on Daf Samach Testament Beis. We are on the second to last skinny line by Sfinta. So remember, we were just talking about this idea of how we can be umafriz al sadeh uveinu choshesh mishum ribis, and we were talking about how if me and Saul have an agreement, so I'm paying him rent, and then I borrow money to go and make the property nicer, so I could say, okay, I'm going to pay you $12 a month instead of $10 a month for the rent or whatever, $12 a year, $12 whatever it is, I'm going to raise the rent in order to make it nicer. And we said that can even apply to a shop and to a boat because you can make those things nicer and it turns into an investment in the property itself because now people will pay more to see a painting on the store shop or people will pay more to see a better sailboat with a better sail. So it makes sense that it would work. So now comes the Gemara and says, Sfinta, Amarav, Agra Upagra. So when you have a situation where we enter into some sort of ISKA agreement and I give some sort of object, so I'm able to get the thing back, meaning I'm for sure going to get my thing back. I give something to Saul, so he's going to give it back to me, and I'm allowed to collect rent payments for it. So you're allowed to go and benefit on both ends. I'm Rulei Rav Kahana V'Ravasi L'Rav, I Agra Lo Pagra, I Pagra Lo Agra. You can't have it both ways. You can't have it that you're going to get a guarantee that your thing is back, meaning there's no liability for you, and collect rent. It doesn't work like that. If that's going to be the case, then it's a halva where you're getting money back, and that's going to be a ribbis issue. So it can't be that you're going to have the best of both worlds. Shasik Rav, so Rav was quiet. I'm Rav Sheshes. My time as Shasik Rav. Why was Rav quiet in this situation? Lo Shmielei Haditan. Did he not hear the following brisa, where the brisa says, Afal pi she amru in makabum tzon barzel miYisrael? Even though we have this concept where we can't accept tzon barzel from Yisrael. So this is going to be actually the topic of the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Amud Beis. What's tzon barzel? Tzon barzel is, again, if me and Saul enter into an agreement, like what we normally would call an iska agreement. So me and Saul go into this agreement, and I give him money, and he's going to go and work whatever business it is, and we're going to split the profits. So normally we split the achrayas as well. But here I say, okay, Saul, you're going to take on all of the liability and we're going to split the profits. Saul's just desperate. He needs some cash. So therefore, we're going to go and we're going to split the profits, but the liability is fully on Saul. So you know what? Let's flip it. It's nicer. Liability is fully on. No. Okay, Saul could take it. Okay, good. Saul could take the losses. Good. So we have. So this is the idea that we're going to have. And why is it called tzon barzel? Because this is something like barzel. It's like sharp like iron. This is something where it's so ironclad that I'm going to get my money back. I know it's going to be okay. So this type of arrangement where there's no risk and just reward, that's got smacks of ribbis all over it. So this is something, even though we say that I can't do this with another Jew, aval mekabum tzon barzel min ha-nachrim, but we are allowed to do a tzon barzel type of relationship with non-Jews. Aval amru hasham paro l'chaveru, l'chaveru va'amar lo harei paras chasuya alai b'shloshim dinar v'ani ela l'chasela b'chodesh. But if we have a situation where me and Saul again enter into an agreement, and I give him a cow, and I say, Saul says, I evaluated this cow that you just gave to me, and it's worth $30, let's just say. And I'm going to guarantee you that you're going to get back your $30 at the end, and I'm going to pay you back one sella per month as a rental agreement. Right? So I know I'm getting my $30 back no matter what. We're on the third to last line on Samach Tesman Days. So I know that I'm getting my money back no matter what. I'm going to get the value of this cow back no matter what, plus I am collecting a rental payment right now. So this seems to be something which is no good. Mutter, this is still going to be mutter. Why lo fishalo asa adamim? Because I haven't explicitly stated that I'm going to be getting the money back. What does that mean? Velo asa, we just said that you said that you are explicitly saying that Saul analyzed it, said, this looks like a cow that's worth 30. I know it's worth 30. I'm guaranteeing you that you're going to get your 30 back, and I'm going to pay you rent. But how are you allowed to do that? Amar Rav, no. Lo asa adamim mechayim el lachar misa. No, we're saying that Saul is saying, if it's alive, I'm going to give it back to you. Even if this $30 animal is now only worth $15, if it's alive, I'm giving it back to you the way that it is. You're going to eat those losses. But if it dies, I'm going to pay you the amount that it was worth when the original loan happened, which is 30. Meaning, let's say again, Saul's using my animal, and it was worth 30 when I gave it to him, and now it's worth 15. And now it dies. So you might think he only has to pay back the 15, because that's how much it was worth when it died, and he could have just given that right back to me. But no, well, we came to the agreement. Saul said he's going to give me the 30. If it dies, he's going to give me the amount that we agreed on when the loan or the giving over of the object actually happened. This is all the shita of Rashi, which is actually Machlokes Rishonim. But we're going to go with Rashi for now. So Amar of Papa, Hilchasa Sfina Agra Upagra. So when it comes to this type of agreement, we are allowed to have this Agra Upagra type thing. We are allowed to have where I get the profits and I don't have to accept the liability. I am able to have it, the best of both worlds. V'nagu b'nei kufra agra b'shas b'shicha, pagra b'shas shvira. And what they used to do is that the minhag of the b'nei kufra was that they would go and collect the rent at the time of the mishicha, and if something happened to it, they would collect that payment when it would break. Says Gemara, atu b'minhaga talya milsa. Wait, this is something which is usher b'ribis. You're telling me, oh no, their minhag is to do it. Right? Like we have this sometimes. No, our minhag is not to keep Shabbos. So we... Right, where do you draw the line?
I guess talk in shul.
Exactly, right, that's the one. That's a much better example. And no, my minhag is to talk in shul. Like, what are we talking about over here? It says Gemara, no, mishum de masnisa tanya b'minhaga. Because over here, this is basically what the Mishnah, the Bryce had just taught, meaning this idea of the 30 and then it goes down, then it goes up. That's what we're saying. Because it was taught like that, and it was taught in that type of Bryce, so that's why we're being told it on a minhag like that. Now, a similar type of discussion that's going to use some of these ideas, but now we're going to get into how to go and use the money of Yesomim. How exactly are you allowed to do? Are there any exceptions to Ribbis when it comes to money of Yesomim who need help? So, Amar Ravanan, Amar Shmuel, Moshe Yesomim, Mutzer Lahavosam Beribbis. So focus on the names here for a second. Rav Hanan says in the name of Shmuel that you are allowed to go and do ribbis, explicit ribbis, with orphans' money. Seemingly the reason why this would be allowed is because, remember we said yesterday, that it has to go, ribbis only applies when it's malve to love, right? When it's from person to person. But maybe here, if there's a middleman, maybe it's going to be different. But still, it sounds a little suspicious. Because saying that you're allowed to do explicit ribbis with anything is strange. So this is what they said in the name of Shmuel. It sounds like there's a middleman over here, but still, even if... What'd you say? So therefore what?
Therefore
not. So ask the Gemara. Ask the Gemara on Binyamin's question. I'm related to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman, who was, you know, also a major Dine Mamonos type of guy, along with Shmuel, right? Shmuel was known as Hilchasa Kishmuel ben Mamona, right? So they're both big-time Mamonos guys. So Rav Nachman hears that this is what they're saying in the name of Shmuel. He says, well, Mishum Diyas Meninu Sfina La Lehu Isura, just because they're Yisomim, so you're allowed to go and feed them Isurim, right? So you have Kitanim, so you're allowed to go and give them McDonald's every day just because they're Kitanim, right? Where do we draw the line on this? So Amar Le Emali Ezo Gufa De Uvda Hechi Hava. You know, Rav Nachman says, tell me exactly what the situation was where you think you heard Shmuel say this, because this does not sound like something that Shmuel would say. So tell me how you inferred that this is the Shita of Shmuel. So Amar Le Ahu Dudai Duda de b'nei Mar Ukva to have a bay Mar Shmuel, because there was a certain kli, copper kli of the children of Mar Ukva that was by Shmuel. Takil v'yayiv, takil v'shakilay. So he would charge them when he would take it, so there would be some sort of rental payment, right? This is why we're bringing it right here. There would be some sort of rental payment, and he would also evaluate it when he was collecting it to see if there were any damages, and then he would collect damages also. So how could this be, right? Again, he's getting the profits, and he doesn't have any liability. That's got smacks of ribbis. So how could he do this? Oh, clearly, it must be shakel agra v'shakel pichsa. So he would go and collect the reward, and he would also collect the depreciation. I agra lo pichsa, v'i pichsa lo agra. So you can't have it both ways. So it must be that Shmuel was doing this because this was money of Yisomim, right? And because he was dealing with orphans, that's why it's going to be different. So it must be that Shmuel holds that ribbis is allowed by orphans. So Amar Lei, Kiha, Afilu Bidikani, Nami Shari Lemevade. Oh, if that's the situation, says Rav Nachman, then even with older kids, even with older adults, right? But, well, older kids, that's the reason why I said it, is because notice it doesn't say, it could have said Gedolim, right? We've spent a lot of time talking about Ketanim and Gedolim. If it wanted to say Gedolim, it doesn't, right? So it clearly says Bidiknani. So what's this referring to? So this is actually a big question. At what point is someone not an orphan, right? At what point? How old does someone have to be in order to not be an orphan? What'd you say? Oh, right, that's why Zakan, that's why it says maybe it's a beard. But others say, let's say you're a gadol. Let's say you are 13 years old. Let's say it's a mature 13-year-old that has a beard. So is that person going to be considered a gadol in terms of these things? So it sounds like it's once someone is wise enough to have that business acumen to be able to manage their own stuff, that's when that line is going to be drawn. It's not necessarily an age thing. It's a stage thing, right? So, right, if you're not even there. So it's an age thing, not a stage thing. So you'd have to figure out, I'm sorry, it's a stage thing, not an age thing. So, you know, you have those 13-year-olds that's ripping off all the other kids in school and selling the candies from the locker. Like, that kid's probably ready. But then you have, you know, a 25-year-old who is not ready. So you got to figure that out. But here, what Rav Nachman's saying is that even with older even if not ketanim yisomim, this is going to be allowed. Why? Da makabli alayu chuscha dinachsha dekama demikle nachsha batzir damea. No, the reason why this is okay over here is because when it comes to the copper, when some of the copper gets damaged, all of the copper gets damaged. So what you're collecting is you're collecting the rental payment for the other ones that get damaged because of it, not for that thing itself. So you're collecting the depreciated value from the stuff that you actually lent, and you're going and collecting the rental payment from the other parts of the copper of the copper that gets damaged, because those get damaged as well. So that's why that's going to be a totally different case, and it has nothing to do with ribis at all. Good? Good. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Bar Shilav, Amar Rav Chistav Amrila, Amar Rav Bar Yavosef Barcham, Amar Rav Sheshes. Gotta love those three lines of Gemara. Ma'o shel yisomim, when it comes to money of the orphans, mutter lahalvosan karov l'schar v'rochok lehefsin. So you're allowed to go and kind of have a heads I win, tails you lose type of situation, right? Meaning you're allowed to go and do a halva, do a loan where it's karov l'schar, meaning we're going to split the profits. It's going to be easy for them to make profits. But v'rochok lehefsin, where the other person, the lender, is going to take on more of the liability. So you're allowed to have this, even though this is a avak ribis issue. It's usually a ribis dirabanan type of issue. In our situation, we're saying for yisomim, this is going to be allowed. Tanu rabana, now on that topic, karov l'schav rachuk lehefsid, Russia. So if someone's going to make an agreement with someone else where it's very clearly in their favor, borderline ribis midirabanan, where it's close to schar and far away from loss, so you're a Russia for doing that type of thing. Karov lehefsid v'rachuk l'schav, chassid. If someone has it where they're going accepting much more liability, so it's a low reward, high risk type of thing. So then you're a chassid. That's a very nice chassid for you to do. Karov lezeh v'lezeh, rachok mizeh lezeh. When you have high risk, high reward, or low risk, low reward, zoi midas kol adam. That's pretty normal, right? You know, there's different types of investments. You know what type of thing you're investing in, and therefore you have to go and act accordingly. So when you have high risk, high reward, low risk, low reward, those are the types of things that are midas kol adam. Amar le Rabba le Rav Yosef, hani zuzi diasmi echi avdinon lu. So let's say we do have this money of Yisomim. What should we do with this? What should we do with this? I was just actually talking to a family member. There was someone who, unfortunately, the husband passed away young, and they did a GoFundMe page, and they raised a lot of money, Baruch Hashem. They raised a few hundred thousand dollars. So I was asking, what are they doing with this? And there's this guy in the community who invests, and he's taking, meaning like you try to find what to do with this people's money, because if you just leave it, and you just use those few hundred thousand dollars just for expenses and do nothing else with it, it's going to run out, right? It's going to run out sooner rather than later with what's going on nowadays in terms of pricing. So what do we do with this money? So Amrale, Mosvina Lu Beidina, Viavina Lu Zuza Suza. Give it to the Beis Din and they'll pay for the expenses as everything comes up. It says, but if that's the case, if there's no interest coming in, if there's no investing happening, you're going to run out of money, right? When the money runs out, that's not good. So Amrale Mar Hechiyavit. So what should you do? Amrale Badkinan Gavra de Isle Dava Paricha. So you should find a wealthy person who's got gold laying around, who's got a lot of gold in his house. Vinaktina Dava Mine Viavina Luhu Nihale Karov Lishav Rachel Lehefzin. And you should go and give it to him, and you should get the gold. And that way you should basically invest in gold. There's not a new thing that we're saying that people should invest in gold. Always from the times of Gemara. Gold's a good investment. So you should go and do some sort of arrangement with this guy where it's karov l'schar v'rachok lehefsid. You should make some sort of arrangement with this gold guy. Says Gemara, aval davar mesuyim lo, but you should not do it with a specific item. Like, let's say this person has a very fancy, watch in his house. He shouldn't do it with that because dilma pikadon ninhu, because maybe that's something that really belongs to somebody else. Right? Maybe that's a pikadon that he's just watching. And maybe this other person's going to come give his simanim that this is really his. He's going to take it. Then the yisomim lost all their money. One big Ponzi scheme. He's going to lose all their money. So that's why you got to be careful. But says the Gemara, Ravashi says, Tenachi mishtakach gavar isle dava pricha. This makes sense if you find a person that's got tons of gold just laying around his house. But let's say, so what's the other option? Meaning we're saying, either you find someone who's got tons of gold laying around, or you just have to go and pay out expenses as they come. There's got to be some in between. What else could you do? So, Ela Amar Ravashi, Chazinan Gavar de Mishapu Nechase, you should go and find a person who has no claims against his property, Mehemini, someone who people trust, Mishama Dina Del Rice, and he follows Dinim Del Rice, Vlom Makabal Shamta de Rabbanan, and he's never been excommunicated, Viavinan Lehu Nehale Bebe Dina. And then you should go and have them be the main person on top of it in terms of the basin. You know, sometimes a shame tov goes a long way, and you just got to kind of jump in sometimes. You do, this I think is like a credit report score, right? You look at their credit, you look at what their reputation is, and then you say, okay, you know what? We got to trust people at a certain point. You can't always live life when you're just terrified of everything. Can something happen? Of course something can happen. But ultimately, you do your ishtadlus to find a person who's trustworthy and someone who would take it on, and you hope that they are going to be the ones to be able to take it. Good. Now let's go to the next Mishnah, but let's just first review what we did. So we started with this sfinta. So when we say, can you have agra upagra? Can you go and accept rental payment and also collect if something were to happen? This is very similar to what we're about to see in this next Mishnah of a Tzon Barzel agreement, where it's like ironclad, where I know that I'm going to get my thing back for sure and only have gains. When there's no risk, that's a problem, right? You can't have just high reward, low risk. Or no risk. Low risk could potentially work, but no risk absolutely cannot work. That's got smacks of ribbis. So we spoke about this. How could it work? And we said this idea where you're paying for if it dies. Meaning Saul is saying, this thing is worth 30 and I'm going to pay you rent, but I'm only paying you the 30 if this animal is no longer living. So we said that's why it's going to be okay. Then we started talking about what to do with the money of Yesomim. How are we going to interact with the money of Yesomim? So what do you do? Is there ribbis? So it sounds like you can't do ribbis mi d'oraisa, but you can have something where it's karov le schar v'rachok le hefsid. And when giving loans, you should think about what we're doing. You definitely should not have a situation where it's like that. That's a Russia-type mentality. The other way, which is a Chassid-type mentality, is for super impressive. You know, that's not easy either. But the normal thing is high risk, high reward, low risk, low reward. And we spoke again about what to do when you have Yesomim and how to manage their stuff. Now let's get to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "In makam tzon barzel miyisrael m'neishu ribbis." So you can't have this tzon barzel type of relationship because this is ribbis. Again, this is when there's no risk for the nosein. So when there's no risk, when I'm going and giving Saul something, and I say, Saul, you're going to accept all of the liability, and we're going to split the profits, this now turns into a halva, because I'm basically giving it over to Saul. He's responsible for anything that happens to it, and I'm getting paid for the halva. So that is a classic case of ribbis. But you are allowed to go and give and collect tzon barzel from the Akum. To do this with a non-Jew is going to be allowed. Now, what about the middle status? So, Rush quotes about a Mumar Yisrael. Let's say you have someone who is, you know, anti-Jewish. Unfortunately, we see a lot of the people giving us major issues nowadays in the world are Jews. You know, as a Jew, as a rabbi, I could, whenever it starts like that, you know, my parents, and that, they cause a lot of issues. So a Mumar Yisrael, are you allowed to do this? So is it a mitzvah? So the Rush says by Mumar Yisrael, this is going to be okay. The Ramah says it's best to be machmir in such a situation and stay away. And the Minog does seem to be machmir. There's a big discussion about this because the risks of ribbis are intense. Remember, we said yesterday of the guy who thought that he was doing something right, but really he lost all his money because he was renting out money. Right, remember? And we said, oh, what's the difference? I'm renting out a tool for my field or I'm renting out money. Both things are fine. And we spoke about the chiddush of ribbis is, even if it's the biggest favor in the world that someone's doing for you, it's still going to be usur. Right? Binyamin offers to lend me on 2%. That's a wonderful chesed. But still usur. Right? That's why you still have to figure it out. So you're allowed to do this to a non-Jew. V'lavin mehen u'malavin osan b'ribbis. You can go and have explicit ribbis with the non-Jews. V'chein b'ger toshav. And the same thing applies by a ger toshav. A ger toshav is a guy who accepts the sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach in order to go into the land of Israel, whatever it is. So the same thing applies to them. Now, there are other big-time kulas. Goyim is obviously a huge one that people rely on constantly. But there are other big kulas, which actually comes back to our shiloh about the early bird specials, right? The other big kula is from Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe has this big tshuva where he talks about corporations, that a corporation, when it's something which is a bigger entity, that's its own entity, and that's not something which is subject to ribbis. So if you can create that it's a corporation type of situation, it's not a person that owns it, then maybe there's not going to be ribbis over there, which is one of the ways to explain the early bird specials, because the school or the camp or whatever it is that's accepting your early bird special, it's not an individual, it's the corporation. Now you have to figure out when there's a fully Jewish owned thing, how does it work? And you get paid on Shabbos from the corporation, how exactly this works. People discuss this all the time when it comes to a 3-day, normally also how you judge days is a big discussion. You're not allowed to make money on Shabbos from like interest types of payments. So let's say you're getting money on a Shabbos. How are you allowed to make money on Shabbos for your interest payments in the bank? And the answer is that you have a Saturday night and you have a Friday day. So there's no full 24-hour period where you're making money that it's fully Shabbos. But the question becomes intense on on a 3-day yontif, right? Or on a, even a 2-day yontif. What do you do over this? This becomes a big question about the corporations and stuff along those lines. This is what's discussed in those tshuvas. But, you know, let's just keep going. V'chei migir toshem. Malve Yisrael ma'osav shel akum midasa akum avalo midas Yisrael. So a Jew is allowed to go and do a ribbis type of thing when it comes to the money of an akum if you need to go and get approval from your non-Jewish boss in order to go and do so. But you can't do it based on your own volition. You can't do it based on your own feelings and thoughts. It has to be that you're just acting as the messenger for the non-Jew. But comes the Gemara and says, we just said this Tzon Barzel relationship is usher, where I go to Saul and I say, Saul, you're accepting all of the responsibility and we're going to split the profits. We said that's going to be like a halva, and it's going to be a problem. But the fact that we said it's like a halva shows that it really does seemingly belong to Saul. So Lameimra de Bershusa de Mekabel Kaima. It sounds like by a Tzon Barzel that it really technically sounds like it's going into the rishus of the person who's receiving it, i.e. Saul in our case. Uraminu, but I'll ask you a contradiction. I'm a kavel tzon barzel min anachrim vlados betura min habachora. Let's say you accept a tzon barzel agreement from a non-Jew. You're desperate. You need to have an animal right now to work whatever field or to do whatever it is. So I go to John. No John here. I go to John and I say, listen, I need an animal. And he says, fine, I'll give you the animal, but you're going to accept all of the responsibility if something happens to it. And we're splitting the profits. I say, fine, that's totally good. So in that situation, let's say it's a bechor animal, the vlad is pater min ha-bechor. I mean, if the animal now gives birth to a bechor, which is the prophet, so the vlad is pater min ha-bechor, because the halacha is that an animal of a non-Jew is pater min ha-bechor, but in the animal of a Jew is chayv in bechor. So the fact that we're saying it's pater in bechor shows that it belongs to the guy, right? The original person, which means that the Makabel is not the person who's actually the owner. So why would Saul be the one who's like he's the owner in our situation by its own Barzel situation? Says the Gemara, Amar Abayi lo kasha hada Makabelei onsa vizula, hada lo kabelei onsa vizula. No, one's talking about where Saul accepts every type of achrayas upon himself, an onus, even if it goes down in price. And the other one is talking about where he does not accept it, where since in the Bechoros case, I did not accept every element of responsibility, every element of liability. Since I did not accept that upon myself, that's why I'm not the owner enough to go and have a Bechor. So Amar Rava, Rava says, Ida kabalei mara onse vizula tzon barzel karisle. If I accepted every single thing upon myself, or if Saul accepted every single thing upon himself, that's called the Tzon Barzel relationship, which we just said is going to be a problem. So what does that mean? You're going to tell me one case is when there was Tzon Barzel, one case is where there's not? Both cases are Tzon Barzel. They explicitly said that in the Mishnah. So what are you talking about? When we wanted to make a distinction in our Mishnah, we said, okay, you can't do a Tzon Barzel type of relationship with a Jew, but you can with a guy. So why not go and make it more directed? You could say, Liflug Bididei. Go and make the distinction within the case itself. Shop your dummy. Say, you can't do it to a Jew when the Jew's going to accept every element of liability, but when they're only going to accept some of the liability, then it's going to be okay. So if you're really right, Abaye, then the Mishnah should have made that distinction instead of jumping to a non-Jew. And of course you would have known when it comes to a non-Jew that it's going to be okay. So Ella, Amar Rav, Rava says, idi de lo kabel emera unsa vozua. Now we're talking about a situation where the extra achrayas wasn't taken upon, but so then why is Bechor going to be different? Why by Bechor is it not considered my animal that I have to go and give Bechor from? And why by Saul, though, is it considered enough that it's going to be ribbis? Because Kevan, Vigabi Bechor is hainu tam de vlados pedurmina Bechora. And this is the reason why by Bechor it's going to be different, because Kevan de lo yaiv zuze asi nachri toughest leil behema. Because if I don't pay back my non-Jew, if John doesn't get his money back, he's going to come and collect my animal right away. The vlados, the profits that I made from this animal, if I don't pay him back what he's entitled to, he's going to come and grab my profits, that animal, right away. And if I can't get the animal back, he's going to go right for the vlados. He's going to come and potentially collect that which I have. And since the Yad Nachri, John has some sort of hand in my animal still, because he can collect it if something goes sour. And any time we have Yad Nachri Be'emtza, you're going to be Pater Min HaBachor. So really, Tzon Barzel is talking about a situation just like what we said, where Saul accepts the Achrayas, I'm going to get the gains, and there's no difference between the cases in general, like me and Saul, and John and me with the Bechor case. The only difference is that when it comes to a Bechor, you can't have the Nachri involved at all in that animal, and since the Nachri could technically come and go and take it back, that's why it's going to be different. Good. Now comes the Gemara and says, we're going to now get right into the ribis by goyim type of situation. The pasuk in Mishlei says, "Mar behono b'neshech v'sar b'slachonin dalam yikbetzenu." That if you're going to go and lend and deal with neshech, deal with interest, with ribis, so then you're going to end up giving that money to the poor, meaning it's not like saying you're going to go and give tzedakah. Oh, you should go and do major ribis because you're going to give tzedakah. It means that money is going to be taken away from you. So, mar behono b'neshech v'sar b'slachonin dalam yikbetzenu. My lachonin dalam, what's this talking about? Amar Rav, kigon shvur malka. It's talking about like Shvor Malka, this Melech Prasai, he was the king of Persia. And what he would do is he would take money from the Jews and give them to the non-Jewish people. Not necessarily the poor people. If you look at Rashi, he says Shehem Dalim Min HaMitzvos, meaning that they're poor for mitzvos. They don't have any mitzvos. So they would figure out different government decrees to go and take money away from the Jews. They would tax the Jews at a certain rate and go and give the money so the rest of the non-Jews can go and have more. So that's what's going to happen if you go and do all this ribbis. Amar of Nachman, Amar Lihuna, Lo Nitzchel Afilu Ribbis to Oved Kochavim. This is true even by non-Jewish ribbis. Now this seems to give off a very different impression than our Mishnah did, right? Because our Mishnah said it's totally fine, it's totally allowed, that's going to be okay. But now we're saying, even with this, it sounds like there's potentially an issue that you're going to lose all your money. It's not a good thing to do. But says Gemara, Yisrael, Rav, Rav Nachman, L'Nachri Tashech, the Pasuk explicitly says what? You can do ribbis by non-Jews, right? So my Tashech, what does it mean? Lav Tishoch, is this not talking about that you can lend them with ribbis? And you see that this is totally allowed. What's Rav Nachman saying? That this is going to be something which is going to come back to bite you? That it's going to be something which is not going to be good? Says Gemara, no, lo Tashech. No, it means that you can't pay it, right? And no, it means that you have to pay, meaning you can't not pay it. What it means is that you have to give it back to the guy. Lo sagi de lav achi, what? Meaning just that? So says Gemara, lo la fuke achicha de lo. Now this is coming to exclude your Jewish brother where you would not have to pay it. Achicha ben yakas of bay, lachicha lo tashik. But we already know this explicitly. The pasuk tells us that you can't do this to Jew. No, lav or alav, but ase velo sase. No, we're saying that this, if you're going to do this with a Jew, then this is going to be like kind of lav or alav bishnei lav, and that it's going to be an extra isser. Now we have an isser ase and an isser lo sase telling me that you shouldn't go ahead and do this. So fascinating. Again, going back, we see that it might be a problem to lend to a guy with ribbis, but not to pay ribbis. Meaning, again, if a bank says you have to pay 5%, so you could pay that, that's not going to be a problem. But if you're going to lend a guy with ribbis, maybe that's going to be a problem. So I was actually talking to some rabbis yesterday because Shiloh came up, actually. It's amazing timing. You love daf yomi coincidences. Something came up. There was someone who had a potential deal. They would give this to a guy, and then a guy would pay them back more. And it's explicit ribbis, but it's by a guy. And he said, no, this is all... Everyone's making on this. Shulchan Aruch is making on this. When it comes to a guy, you can go and interact. But this is coming back. This Tosos over here of Tashich on the bottom Tosos. This is the Tosos that we were talking about with the Taz HaYadua. Remember the Taz HaYadua that the Rabbanon can make decrees. Right? We have this all the time. When the Rabbanon see that there's something that someone will probably slip up on. So the Rabbanon can make decrees, but they will never make a decree that goes against an explicit pasuk in the Torah. And that's why you can make a gzeira d'rabba saying that there's not going to be any shofar blowing on Shabbos or any lulav on Sukkot or stuff along those lines, but you can't say there's not going to be any bris milah on Shabbos because it says uvayom hashmini, that it's got to be on the eighth day no matter what. The line in Tosfos over here on the third line, he says, kevan d'amar rachmana l'nachri tashich lo'ya lahem l'chachamim l'esur. The chachamim are not able to go and make such an isser. So again, let's just review. We had this sfinta and we had agra upagra, what to do with the stuff of yesomim we then went into. What normal ribbis loans look like, what they don't look like, how you should go and loan. Koadam is high risk, high reward, low risk, low reward. Then we spoke more about this Tzom Barzel type of relationship. And we said you can't do it to Jews, but you can do it to non-Jews. And we spoke about what does it mean? Does it mean that when a Tzom Barzel, that it fully belongs to Saul, when I give him the thing, he takes Achrayus, and then he's going to pay me, he's going to go and pay me back. We're going to split the profits 50-50. So does Saul actually own it? But what about by Bechor? No, maybe Bechor is going to be different. Then we started talking about non-Jewish interest and whether that's allowed. Is that still going to be something which is Chonin Dalim? So Mir Tashem, we should be Zocha, we'll be able to continue this tomorrow. This is Daf Ayin. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful day.